Going to be talking about the verse in 1 Corinthians 14:40. So if you'd like to turn there, you can see that ahead of when we get there. We continue our series in this wonderful book, For the Good of Your Child, authored by our founding pastor, Dr. Hobbs. Now, one of the first lessons I learned when we started attending Grace Bible Church back in 1969, relative to the rearing of children, was that of having a Christ-centered home in contrast to a child-centered home. That perked up my ears, a Christ-centered home versus a child-centered home. Now, I was not brought up in a child-centered home, because in the days that I was a child, that just wasn't the norm. But it's become the norm where we have child-centered homes, but he preached that the best home is a Christ-centered home. In other words, children were to be reared in a home where Christ was at the center and not a home where everything was centered on the children. There's a great difference between these two homes, and the results coming from these homes will be as far apart as black is to white. So just to make things clear, his book title, For the Good of Your Child, means good defined by what the Bible says is good for your child, and not what your child or the culture says is good. Now, your child will tell you that all things are good, that pleases them, but this is not what Dr. Hobbs was talking about when he titled this book. Now, this verse from the book of 1 Corinthians is posted on the north side of the baseball field house here on campus. And that verse has been posted as long as I can remember, many years. And all who enter the sports complex see that verse immediately. And it advertises to those that read that verse what kind of environment they are entering, or what kind of environment we are trying to have them enter. Now, there could be a difference if we're lax. But it is a verse about the very subject that we have been discussing in this series of lessons concerning the rearing of children. And the verse of which I refer is a verse that describes what authority is and what authority is to accomplish. Cement that in your mind when you read that verse. This is the mission of authority. And that verse from 1 Corinthians 14:40, which instructs us to let all things be done decently and in order. Now notice the main words of this verse. You know, folks, when you read verses, do you read the words? Do you examine the words? You know, God says, taste the Word of God. The Word of God. Taste the words. Get a feel for what the words are by examining each word in the verse. And this verse has the word all, done, decently, and in order. Now, what is order? Well, you know, order is what you tell the person down at Burger King when you ask for the food. You order the food. That's an order. But the order I'm talking about is a methodical arrangement of things. Boy, that is general. Now, methodical means there is a reason behind choosing a particular arrangement For thinking always precedes order. Think about that. Thinking always precedes order. When you organize anything, you choose a particular arrangement to fit a particular need. Think about that. Now, you may have an orderly closet. I'm going to touch on personal things. Closets are the hardest places to maintain order. Perhaps you young people haven't found that out, or perhaps you have. But you may have an orderly closet, but what's the point of having all the woman's clothes mixed in with the man's clothes? Here's a blouse, here's a suit, here's a man's shirt, here's a woman's skirt. Now, it's orderly, but it's not decent. It's not methodical. It's not well thought out. And I don't suppose any of you have a family sock drawer. Do you have a family sock drawer? Where's my socks? Why are all these socks mixed in with mine? Well, there's order there. They're all in a row, but they're all together. It wasn't well thought out, but there's order. So order is a methodical arrangement of things. And in this verse, we are told that the methodical arrangement of things is to be a decent arrangement. Wow, we're getting into words that I don't think are in our culture. Have you heard the word decent on television lately? Somebody says decent. What language are you talking? Is that Romanian? But decent is not a popular word today, but it means becoming. But you don't hear that much anymore. It means fit. It means suitable. In words, behavior, dress, and ceremony. Wow, this verse is packed. Those in authority have big jobs to do. Just by that word, decent, it means becoming, it means fit, it means suitable in words, behavior, dress, and ceremony. Now, decent is not ostentatious. You know, ostentatious, you say, well, what's ostentatious? Well, it's these big earrings that are hanging down to your shoulder. That's ostentatious. Gaudy, the gaudy look, immodest, flashy, showy, or extravagant. I'm stepping on some toes, perhaps. But this is Bible. This is what Bible is. Bible means to cause you to be different. That's what Bible means. It causes you to be different. It causes you to think about what pleases God. So, decent is not ostentatious, not flashy, not showy. And then the word done is used indicating action to do things and bring things to be, to cause to come forth, to author. And what is the extent of all of this doing? What is the extent of this authoring? How broad is this? Well, the extent is that all things are to be done decently and in order. You mean that means my closet? You mean that means my face? You mean that means my hair? You mean that means my appearance? Well, I don't know what all things means to you, but all things means that to me. Therefore, there is nothing excluded from being done decently and in order. Boy, that's a big job. Now, what we have described here is what authority is. It's simple. The purpose of authority is to bring all things to be, but to bring things to be in a certain way. Not just to bring things to be, but it's to bring things to be that are decent, meaning fit and suitable and methodically arranged. That's the purpose of authority. Our pastor is in charge of what takes place where this verse is posted. He has authority to see to it that in the baseball program, all things that are done are to be fit, suitable, and methodically arranged. He has authority to arrange the fields in a manner that conform to the authority of the rules of the game. He has authority to see to it that the concession stand is suitable, fit, and so arranged to conduct business in an orderly manner. He is to see to it that umpires and scorekeepers are in place on time and who reflect the instructions of this decent and order verse of Scripture. Now, he also has the authority to exclude from participating in this sports program those who will not be decent. Have you ever had to use that authority, Pastor? Yes. He nods yes. There are those who push the envelope. And they're not decent. Their behavior is wrong. They're not fit to be there. And they're not orderly. Let all things be done decently. Now, if he didn't carry that out, that verse would be a sham. Don't put the verse up. Don't put a verse up in your house if you're not living the verse. Don't be a hypocrite. In other words, he has authority to bring forth that which is not only for the good of the child who desires to play baseball in an environment conducive to play, but for all who come to witness this play. That's his authority. God gave him that authority when he agreed to run that program. Now, this action of authority, of course, extends throughout the ministry. Decency and order are desired in our school, where we expect that which takes place in the classrooms, in the hallways, in the lunchroom, in the playground, to be what? Decent and orderly. Same thing comes over here. That verse is not just for the field house. That verse has long arms. It stretches out over the whole community, but especially that which we have authority over. But if things aren't decent, it's the responsibility of authority to act, to get things done. It is the responsibility of authority to see that that expectation for decency and order is realized. Now, authority is necessary for there to be order, for order brings peace and progress as well as many other benefits. Aren't you glad for order? Aren't you glad for progress in things like that? With regard to children, they need to grow up in a tranquil, decent, and orderly atmosphere where peace of mind is possible and progress in every area of a child's growth is normal. Fathers, you want that in your home. You want a tranquil, decent, and orderly atmosphere to raise your children, not chaos. You know, it used to be that we had playpens. Our children were raised with playpens. It's people say, oh, playpens. You're locking up the children. Well, we had a fairly decent house as far as the order was concerned. There wasn't toys all over the place. I didn't stumble over toys. I corralled them. Now, you may disagree with that. That's your problem. But you want to promote in your home a tranquil, decent, and orderly atmosphere. And fathers and mothers, you have authority given by God who expects you to use it to let all things be done decently and in order with regard to your children. So all of us should strive to have order and decency in all areas of our lives, especially in our homes, and support those who are in authority in our community. That's how important it is. You know, the Bible is clear about this. And those in authority have every right from God to expect your support, for they are the agents of God Almighty. Can you imagine that? That policeman that's going down the highway is an agent of God Almighty. And we thumb our noses at him. You better be careful. You're thumbing your nose at God. Now, we read this passage before, but it's worth reading again in Romans 13, 1 through 4. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. Boy, you thumb your nose at authority, you're thumbing your nose at God. You thumb your nose at your parents, make fun of their authority, you're thumbing your nose at God, and you'll answer for it. You'll answer for it. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. You see the connection. Oh, I'm just making fun of the teacher, or I'm just making fun of my father or my mother or those in authority. No, you're not. You're making fun of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves reward? No, damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for what? Good. There's the good of the child. There's the for the good of the child. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Boy, those are powerful words. Now, if you love God's word, you'll be shaken up by those words. Those words will be serious words to you. If you don't love God's word, right over the head. Who cares? Whatever. Let's get done with it. But if you love God's word, you say, God, help me to obey your word. Now, as in anything on earth, there will be those who abuse authority. And this cannot be tolerated by those responsible. But abuse of authority does not lessen the importance of exercising the authority you are given. Fathers, you have authority from God, and God expects you to exercise that authority. And there again, you're going to answer for that. So I believe we ought to lean heavily in our support of those who are in positions of authority, especially when it comes to our children. every opportunity you have as a parent to uplift those in authority, such as the police, your governing leaders, your pastor, your own parents, should be taken in the presence of your children. Uplift those in authority. Realize that they're there by God's right. You know, it is so easy to criticize people who are in authority when we perceive an abuse. But parents, be very careful in doing this, because you may also be planting in your child's mind a lack of respect for the authority that God has put in place. This is important. Not to criticize people that are in authority in front of your children. There are unintended consequences there, for there is no power but of God. There is always unintended consequences because of your lack of support for those in authority. You don't know what they're going to be. There are unintended consequences. It may not come today. But turning children against proper constituted authority will eventually bring a corrupt harvest into the life of the child. You can count on it. It's built in the system. So the benefit of the doubt needs to be in the direction of those who operate within the delegated authority of God, be they the police, the governors, the teacher, or the pastor. Now, in this regard, relative to our Christian school, this united front from parents and teachers is primarily for the good of the child. Now, Dr. Hobbs wrote this in his book. He said, the worst thing that can happen to your child, and he said this, is not that he be mistreated or not believed. Now, think about that. Most parents would say, that's not true. That's the worst thing that could happen to my child, that they be mistreated or not believed. But he is taking a contrary view to that. As bad as that kind of thing may be, but that the parents and the school get at odds, causing a breakdown in the authority structure over the child. You see what's important? The authority structure over the child. Authority must always stand united in behalf of the child, for the good of the child. If the parents and the school have differences, let these be settled privately without the knowledge of the child, but let the child always see unity. This is for the good of the child. See the difference in thinking from today. We think the good of the child is to keep them from being mistreated or abused, and you certainly should do that. But give the benefit of the doubt. If there's doubt, give the benefit of the doubt to authority. When a teacher knows that support from home will be direct and strong, the teacher will be able to accomplish so much more with a student. But think about the teacher with relation to a student who feels that attempts to correct a child will be questioned by the parent. A teacher operates differently when they know there's no support. They do. For the good of the child is hindered. This brings into the classroom a handicap for the teacher, making the teacher less effective in accomplishing some desired objectives in the child's progress. That's so true. I've been a teacher, and I know that from experience. But Dr. Hobbs went on to write, and I'll close here. of the many things that must come together to comprise success in the educational process, it is my opinion that none is more important than that those in authority over the child be solidly united. Parents back the school, and the school backs the parents. This combination practically assures success for the child, and after all, isn't that the bottom line? That's why the book was for the good of the child. Now you got to remember what good it is. Not their good, not what they define as good, but what the Bible defines as good. Now, in support of this opinion, he included in his book a list of do's and don'ts. We'll get into that next week, Lord willing. And thank you all for your kind attention today. I don't know what brought it on, but thank you. Father, we are thankful for this day, and we're thankful, Father, for this lesson. It's been a hard lesson, but Lord, there are hard lessons in life. Sometimes we have to be faced with these hard lessons to learn. And we pray, Father, for this group of people in the body of Christ. Some are in the body, most are in the body of Christ. Perhaps there's some that are not in the body of Christ. And for those not born again, this could just be wind passing through one ear to the other. But Lord, help us as a body to do what's right according to our children. And may those that have children train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And then these young people, Father, who are facing days ahead when perhaps they'll have children and they'll lift up that baby in their arms, and all of a sudden, all of these things will be important because now they're faced with the responsibility to exercise God-given authority in their lives. So perhaps it doesn't mean much today, but Lord willing, it will mean much when you bring a home a baby of your own and a child to raise, and bless them for it and help them, Lord, to hide these things in their hearts that they might raise that child for Christ. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.